Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, if you've got your Bible, turn to Psalm 29. We was at a youth meeting on Friday night, and a preacher preached out of this psalm, and the Lord began to speak to my heart about a message out of this psalm. And it seems like I've not been able to get away from it for this morning. I desire your prayers that the Lord would help us to be a help to you. And Psalm 29, he says, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." Amen. That's as far as I want to read for sake of reading. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is giving unto the Lord glory due. Giving unto the Lord glory due. He said, "Give unto the Lord." And I noticed when I began to read this Psalm of David, and David was, of course, probably one of the greatest men of praise that you'll find in the Scripture. David wrote more about praising God probably than anybody else did. No doubt more than anybody else did. You'll find more about giving God praise in the Psalms than you will any other book of the Bible. It's constantly exhorting us to praise the Lord and how to praise the Lord and to be able to worship the Lord. And as God's people, we surely should want to praise Him. Amen. It should be our desire to want to praise Him. When I think of praise myself, I think of thanks. I think of giving thanks unto the Lord, thanking Him for His great salvation, thanking Him for His goodness from day to day, His provisions. And I know that there's a difference in praising God and really worshiping God. But either way, we should do these things with our spirit, with our soul, with all of our heart, shouldn't we? We should engage our God with our spirit, man, our whole heart, whether we love Him, whether we praise Him, whether we worship Him, we should do so with a whole heart. And a thankful heart, amen, to give thanks unto the Lord. Now, at the first of this psalm, Psalm 29, he said, "Give unto the Lord." He didn't say what. He said, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord glory and strength." And that glory, that's honor and strength, of course, it's just the might. Give Him glory, honor, and might. How could I give Him honor and might? Give unto the Lord. That's what I'm more wanting to concentrate just for a moment on. Hey, he said, "Give unto the Lord, O ye mighty. Give unto the Lord." I mean, when he says to give to Him, he means to, you know, to ascribe something to God, to His being, amen, to go, to set, or to take something specific, amen, unto the Lord. And he calls us the mighty. Oh, ye mighty. And the word that he used here, when he said, give unto the Lord, oh, ye mighty. It's used most of the time of the deity of God and of his power and strength. It means the mighty, but it also has reference to a son as a builder of the family name. That's what I saw in the Strong's. It references the son as a builder of the family name. Amen. One born. A child or an anointed one. And so God gives us a great title, amen, as being his child, doesn't he? I mean, it's not anything to take lightly to say that God has said, you're my child. You are my son. You're now sons of God. Amen. I mean, I'll tell you, there's a lot I could give unto the Lord when I think about what God has given me. Amen. God has given us a mighty title and a mighty name. Amen. We should give unto the Lord. Ascribe ourselves. If we're going to give glory due unto his name. I mean, this due unto his name, the glory that's due to his name is a memorial of his individuality. Glory due to his name. Not just to anybody. But to his name, the honor of his character, glory that's due to him as God the Creator, as Jesus the Savior. Amen. The one that came and died on the cross. Tribute to him. It's due to him. Glory due to what he is and who he is and what he has done. Amen. Thank God for his great salvation. Thank God that he breathed into our nostrils the breath of life. That God would take nothing and create something. Amen. That God could take what he has created and make other things. Amen. Our Lord God. I mean, just get a picture of the God in heaven who is all exist, all powerful. If you look at the universe as big as it is, you could just look at our galaxy, which goes millions and millions and millions of miles, and the stars just within our galaxy, and what is beyond that, I mean, just untelling how many more. And our God could look upon it all with his eyeball just like that. I mean, are you listening to what I'm saying? We don't have a tiny God. Amen. We have a God that knows where everything is. He created all of it. He beholds all of it. Amen? I mean, think about that. Think about, I tell you, if somebody wanted to paint a picture of the earth and God's eye just, I mean, right up against it. Amen? Looking right down on it as big as the earth is. And listen, that still doesn't say how big our God really is. Amen. Our God that created all and is knows all, and all is under him. And if we're going to give glory due to him, I mean, think about the fool that says in his heart, there is no God. How can a man who is a worm not give glory to the being that gives him breath every day that he lives? Amen. that supplies our every need. This glory is due to His name. He said, worship Him in the beauty of holiness. I mean, worship Him in the beauty of holiness, the Bible tells us. If we're going to give glory to Him, we're going to give something to Him. We're going to give Him worship in the beauty of holiness. When He mentioned that, He's talking about that in the beauty of holiness, He's talking about a sacred place or thing, something consecrated or a dedicated thing, a hallowed or holy, most holy thing. In other words, God is saying that we are His temple. He's referred to us as that. Set apart. Sanctified, sacred. God sees us as sacred, amen. What is inside here? Most holy. And God said, worship me in the beauty of holiness, in the beauty of what is saved, consecration, being saved. I mean, setting your side. The Bible said, let us present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service. Amen. And we're going to worship Him. Worship Him in a vessel that's holy, dedicated to His name. My song that comes from my tongue sings praise to my God. And it doesn't sing anything else. Amen. It doesn't sing about Jack Daniels and Johnny Walker liquor. Are you hearing me? It's dedicated unto the Lord. To the Elohim, to the Jehovah, to the Yeshua, amen, to Jesus Christ. To worship Him, this vessel, sacred, set apart. Realize who you are. You are the mighty sons of God. You see, when we realize that God has made us something that we can offer to Him and we can give to Him. He called us a pearl of great price. Amen. The church. It's been redeemed, not with corruptible things as silver and gold received by the vain tradition of your fathers, but with the most precious commodity in the universe is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only thing that can redeem the soul of men and women, amen, that can cause us to have salvation, to dwell safely. Amen. To give glory, that we are enabled now to give glory to His name. Now are we sons of God. Amen. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Be consecrated unto the Lord God that you may worship Him. Amen. I think that God wants someone to worship Him that is wholly dedicated to Him. The Levites are the picture of the child of God. They were picked out of the 12 tribes, just them, to be given to the service of the Lord. Dedicated to the worship and the sacrifice of God. That's not just talking about the preacher. That's the child of God. The life of the child of God. To be dedicated wholly unto the Lord. Amen. And yes, you can do that and still work a job and be married and have kids. And amen. That's exactly right. The Lord's not saying for you to stop being everything else that He's made you to be. But, amen, when it comes to worship, amen, when it comes to any God or thing, worship Him. Amen? Worship Him. Jesus said, when so many are looking for somebody, someone, or something to follow, he said, follow me. Amen. Amen. Follow me. Worship me. This is my beloved son. Hear him. Amen. God will tell us who he is, reveal who he is. And listen, we need to be dedicated to give glory due to his name. Glory due to his name. Think about who this God is. He gives us a picture some in here of our God, of the strength of the Lord, the power and the majesty of God. Who he is. The things that we behold even right here on this earth. Many times God uses these things that we can see him. He uses nature itself to reveal himself, or to reveal character of himself. And so let's look at just a couple of things, and I'll be done. He goes on down. Let me just read all of it because it's wonderful. In verse 3, the voice of the Lord is upon the waters. The God of glory thundereth. The Lord is upon many waters. I don't know if you've ever been out that far into the ocean and seen how those waters can, I mean, really roar. I mean, waves hundreds of feet high, and storms like the, you know, storms that come aground and can just about cover a fourth of the United States when it just breaks land. I'm talking huge hurricanes and the thundering and the lightning. And he's saying God's voice just like that is upon the water. I mean, think about the character that he's showing of God's voice. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaketh the cedars. Now this is something they knew more about. Yea, the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. Now this is not a place outside of Israel. He's speaking about a mountain range that is white from its snow there in the land of Israel. And that's what he's referring to as Lebanon, a mountain range that's white from its snow. And God, the cedars, listen, that came out of there. I mean, we've got trees right here in the United States that they've hewn out places that cars can drive through. Well, the cedars of Lebanon, they say at one time, it was, and some of them are still massive. But could you imagine them untouched from the time of Adam to the time that David wrote this, that God showed it to him? I mean, the cedars that were cut down to make those grand posts that held up the temple, that was overlaid with gold and all that. Are you listening to me? I mean, massive, massive that these things were. And cedar is something, I mean, that is like an everlasting wood. It doesn't rot. It's hard. I mean, very hard. They made the box, the ark, out of a type of wood that was kin to that. And it's a type of wood that never does rot. They overlaid it with gold. You're talking about something hard, like a rock. And yet he said this, that the Lord breaketh the cedars of Lebanon. He maketh them also to skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young unicorn. Now I want you to catch the beauty of this. And think about what he's saying, a young unicorn. It was a bull of sorts that could skip across those mountains. And it was kind of a one-on. If you saw one, it was majestic. I mean, it was just majestic to see that one-horned calf. It's like a goat. I guess it wasn't a goat. It was a calf. It's referred to as a calf or a bull. A one-horned bull there upon the mountains. And he said, he maketh them also to skip. He's talking about the cedars still now. Look at the mountains, the calf. He said, he maketh them also to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian, like a young unicorn. Now, Lebanon is the mountain range. Syrian is the high mountain peak. So when he says, he maketh them, the cedars, he makes the cedars to skip like a calf. I mean, you just see them here and there. I mean, they're all over the edges of that mountain. Places, how many of you seen trees grow and you think, how could it grow there? How could it have any root? But there it was. Especially in these snowy mountains of Lebanon. He said he maketh those cedars to skip like a calf. Lebanon and Syrian, at the peak of that mountain, like a young unicorn. These peaks that would tip off in that mountain range. And those cedars, as majestic as they were, I mean, it'd take your breath away. God makes that. And God can shake that. And God can break that. Are you listening to me? He breaketh, verse 5. In verse 8, the voice of the Lord shaketh the wilderness. And the Lord shaketh the wilderness of Kadesh. And he's talking about that wilderness, what would once all of a sudden a great green pasture as a sanctuary of Kadesh. Kadesh is a sanctuary place. A place, I mean, at the top or maybe on the other side of the bottom of nowhere that nobody knows, and God has placed these things there. The voice of the Lord has made these things, and he can shake these things. The voice of the Lord, verse 7, divideth the flames of fire. And it's a reference to the flames, to the head of a polished blade. God divideth the flames of fire. Oh my. The voice of the Lord, verse 9, maketh the hinds to calf. Those does to give calves. And discovereth the forest. In other words, God can pull back the richness of what is under there. Discovereth the voice of the Lord, discovereth the forest. There's places I've said this that no human eye on this earth has ever seen. May have seen it from satellite, but not what you say up close, look, been there. There's untold glory, and God's voice discovers it. He made it. The voice of the Lord maketh his hinds to calf. and discovereth the forest. And in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. Look at the beauties that God, I mean, he goes from those heights of the wilderness of Lebanon, those snowy caps of Syrian. Are you listening? The cedars there, and he's talking about the wind and the waves of the ocean. He's talking about the creation from the does giving calves. He's talking about revealing, discovering all that's in the forest. He's talking about even in his temple doth everyone speak of his glory. There are those in his temple that cease not day and night crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. He sitteth upon the flood. Yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. And that forever means, I like this, time out of mind. The Lord sitteth king forever, time out of mind. Time that me and you can't even think about. Time so far that our it's out of our mind. We can't even comprehend. Time that you and I cannot comprehend, and he will sit king forever. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. Strength. He'll give strength to his people. Strength to the O ye mighty. See, it is he that makes us the mighty. I am nothing without him. But because of him, now I am. You are sons of God. We behold the beauty of the Lord, the glory of the Lord. Give him honor and might, glory due to his name. Make a monument to him. Amen. And that should be our life. Our life should be a monument to him. Amen. I want you to stand. Bless your heart.